We're going to look at another passage from Romans, the 8th chapter. This is the second in a series that I'll be preaching on key verses from Romans chapter 8. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Romans 8, verses 12 through 14, and you can follow along as I read it. Romans 8, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Last week in the first sermon of the series, I told you that Jesus has set us free from condemnation. We are no longer condemned. We are no longer facing God's judgment. What a tremendous blessing it is to know that we have been justified by faith, which means that because of what Jesus did for us, it's just as if we have never sinned. But as someone has said, because we have been accepted into the Beloved, there are certain things expected of us. One of those things is that we are expected to live differently. That's basically what the scripture I just read to you says to us. But like the last time, this scripture also starts off with a therefore. Now, you've probably heard it said that when we read the Bible and come across that word therefore, we know that it is there for a reason. In the passage prior to the verses I read to you, Paul talks about two different ways of living. First of all, Paul talks about living according to the flesh. Now, we know that when the Bible talks about the flesh in this context, it's not talking about this outer part of us. It's not talking about the thing that covers our inner parts. It's not talking about our skin. But it's talking about that part of our nature that is corrupt and sinful. And Paul mentions several characteristics of the flesh and those who live according to it. He says, first of all, that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. To live according to the flesh involves our minds. The word translated mind in the New Testament does not mean our brains. Neither is it limited to the idea of thoughts or thinking. It includes that, but it really has to do with a person's volition or our will. So if it is not just the thoughts we are having, then what is it? It is more accurate to see it as the realm which governs us. Or to put it another way, it is what we accept as our basis for living. Now, before we came to Christ, we all lived according to the flesh. We were governed by the flesh. We couldn't help it. We followed or were led by the sinful desires of the old life. Think about an animal trainer getting some animal to jump through a hoop. Well, that was us before Christ. Our flesh said, jump! And we said, how high? Another way to describe it is according to our appetite. When we were dominated by our flesh, we fed it whatever it wanted. I heard one Bible teacher say, if you want to get your flesh under control, then stop feeding it. We can do that now if we are Christians, but we couldn't do it before. We should also remember that it is through the flesh that Satan influences and even controls people. So when we get our flesh under control, we are actually shutting the door in his face. Paul says that those who live according to the flesh are carnally minded, which leads to death. To be carnally minded means or involves thinking and doing what is right in one's own eyes. Prior to the great flood, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Everybody was doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. That's what happens when there is no sense of absolute truth. That is why God decided to destroy all the people on the earth, because they were beyond redemption, except for Noah and his family. Those who are carnally minded are like the modern day humanists and the New Age adherents, as well as atheists. According to them, there is no need for God because people are all gods in themselves. And truth is relative. And so when we have no standard to go by, anything can and usually does happen. Living according to the flesh also leads to enmity with God. This word enmity is related to the word enemy. It literally means being an enemy of God. It has to do with hatred and ill will. Those who are enemies of God show a real dislike for God and the spiritual principles of God. I don't know about you, but I think it is not probably a good idea to get on God's enemy list. Some might think there's a huge difference between actually hating and opposing God and simply living separate from Him. But the end result is probably the same. And since those who are not Christians cannot help but live according to their flesh, they are in a state of enmity with God. That is precisely why they needed someone to come and help them. And that is why we all needed for Jesus to make peace between God and us. Through His death on the cross, now we are no longer enemies, but part of the family of God. Do you remember the words of that Gaither song, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God"? Well, we should be very glad and thankful also. Also, another characteristic of those who live according to the flesh is that they cannot please God. Here is where we see a distinct difference between religion or people attempting to please God on their own in whatever way they can find. It does not work. I don't know how many times I have heard people talk about someone who has died and they assign them a place in heaven because of the many good things they did. Or they say he or she was a really good person. Have you heard that? In fact, we heard that on a news show the other night. The person that was at the head of the, was giving the news, was talking about a person and said, well, that got him into heaven because he did such and such a thing. Now, we don't put down the idea of people being good and doing good things, but it's not the way to salvation. True Christianity advocates salvation not by personal goodness or even good works, but by the atoning work of Jesus on the cross on our behalf. It's really pretty simple. God has established a way for us to come to Him. And He will not accept substitutes or alternatives, period. If we really want to please God, then we must do it His way. And you know, there's something in our flesh, something in our old nature that rebels against that. We don't want to do it God's way. We'd rather do it my way. Remember that song? I did it my way. Well, there's a Christian counterpart to that that says, I did it His way, which is the way we should do it. God wants us to come the way that He has provided for us through His Son Jesus. Paul says that it is crucial to understand this, because if we live by the flesh, we will die. But if we live by the Spirit, we will live. That was the warning God gave to Adam and Eve if they disobeyed Him. He said, if you disobey me, if you do what I tell you not to do, you will die. And then Satan came along and said, you won't die. God is just trying to keep you from realizing something that he wants you to not to have, but you can have. And so they did. They disobeyed God. And they did die. Spiritually. and eventually they died physically. The same thing happens today when people live according to the flesh. They die. But Paul does not leave it there. He also adds that we don't have to let the flesh control us. Instead, we can follow the Holy Spirit and we will live. As I told you last time, and as I'm sure you already knew, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when we come to Jesus Christ. He comes to live in us, in our hearts. Now, that is one way the word paraclete, or the Holy Spirit, is translated, which is helper. He helps us to live the Christian life the way God wants us to live it. We cannot do that by ourselves in our own strength and ability. That is why many Christians get so frustrated. They try and they try and they try, but their efforts are never enough. Eventually, some get so discouraged that they just give up and they drop out. But doesn't Paul say in another place that we are supposed to work out our salvation? Yes, he does. But he doesn't mean that we try to do that alone. In the same place, he adds, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure." The psalmist declares that God knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows that we are weak and simply do not have it within us the strength or the ability to walk in his ways. That is why Jesus came and why God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, to enable us to do what would otherwise be impossible for us to do. Now here's the situation we all face. To walk according to the Spirit, to the flesh, I mean, is to follow the sinful desires of the old life. That leads to death. That is why Paul says in Galatians that those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. To walk according to the Spirit is to follow the desires of the Holy Spirit and to live a life that is pleasing to Him. That leads to life. That means that by the enabling ability we receive from the Holy Spirit, we progressively put to death the sinful appetites of the old life, the old lower nature. This is a process that begins when we come to Christ and are baptized. Our old self, or the old person that we were, dies and is buried in the waters of baptism. And then we rise up to walk in newness of life. Some have called baptism an outward sign of an inward grace. I'm okay with that. But what it really means is that baptism or immersion, in addition to something we do in obedience to Christ's command, is also a picture of what happens to us inwardly. A change comes over us. Down in the very core of our being, we are changed. Our old nature is changed, and we become a new creation. Instead of our old sinful nature, we now have a new nature. The hard part, of course, is living out that reality in our daily lives. I say it's hard, but it's not impossible because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The problem we all have is that our old nature, although it has died and has been buried, refuses to stay dead. It keeps popping back up, trying to take over again. The solution to that problem is to be ruled by the Holy Spirit. To live according to the Spirit means to live under the direction and by the power of the Holy Spirit. It means to walk by the Spirit is to let Him have His way and remain in constant communion with Him. That is what Paul means in today's scripture by being led by the Spirit. As I've told you before, the Holy Spirit never forces us to comply. never forces us. He invites us to cooperate with the work that he's doing in our lives. We can be a participant. We can cooperate with him as he brings about those changes in our lives that we all need and that he is able to do. He never forces us, but he makes it possible for us. You know, there is a highway sign that more or less describes what we have to do as Christians. And this sign is placed in places for people for a good reason. And a lot of people just ignore it when they see that sign, which is yield. They don't yield. They just drive right on through, which could cause a very bad accident sometimes. But that's the sign that we all have before us as Christians in regard to the Holy Spirit. What he wants us to do is yield. Yield to him. Surrender to him. Because he has a better way. He has a better plan for us. He wants to work in our lives. But he cannot do it unless we allow him to. Unless we cooperate with him. The Apostle Paul says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. Think about that. We're in the family of God now. We're sons and daughters of the living God because of Jesus, because of what he's done for us, and because of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We are in his wonderful family, part of the household of God. My friends, in addition to helping us, the Holy Spirit leads us into that position of sonship. And there, through that relationship that we have with God through the Holy Spirit, and because we are now sons of God, that offers many wonderful benefits and blessings to us. How wonderful it is to know that we are not all alone, that we don't have to do it on our own. In fact, we can't. But that we are a part of a glorious family now. And we can live and walk in that relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. And we will receive those benefits and those blessings. And we'll talk more about that the next time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have made a way for us where there seems to be no way. Even when we were lost and alone, even when we were hopeless, Father, you made a way through your Son, Jesus. And now, Father, we're not alone any longer. We're in your family. And you are our Father, Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit is our leader and comforter and guide and our helper. Help us, Father, to walk according to the Holy Spirit each and every day with the help, with the power, the strength that he provides, for we pray in his name. Amen.